first passage is from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, and then we're going to read two verses from Colossians chapter 3. So Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And then two verses from Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Let's pray together before we begin. Faithful and triune Jehovah, Lord, what a privilege we have to once more to be able to come into the presence of the Lord our God, the one who has created us, who has made us after his image, and called us to serve and to love him, to love thee, Lord Jesus, and to walk in thy ways. And as we consider this topic tonight, living wise with our work, our time, and our money, Lord, we need wisdom. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to be rooted and in our hearts. For apart from him, we won't serve him. We can't. But we do pray that these young friends would first and foremost know him and serve him and love him. And Lord, bless our time together. Lord, we pray for clarity. We pray for the Spirit of Christ to be with us, accompanying the word and bringing it home to the hearts of young and old. Lord, bless us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So when Mrs. Van Beek sent me the email for this topic, living wise with our work, time, and our money, my mind went back to many years ago to when I was a teenager and to a part-time summer job that I had. I was helping out a local dairy farmer who lived just one road north of my parents. And every summer when he would put straw into the loft of the barn, he would get some help. And he was a farmer, him and his wife, they had no children. And he would bale the straw when it was dry and he'd bring the wagon up to the haymow. And his wife would unload the wagons. He'd go and do another round with another wagon. And the wife would unload and the bales would just continue to drop in. And I would usually get there it was a second job. I'd get there at 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'd come into that haymow with 1,000, 2,000 bales just piled up. And I had to reorganize, stack it neatly. And if you know anything about doing that kind of work in a hayloft of a barn, it's hot, it's humid, it's like this kind of summer day. Now put it inside a barn with absolutely no breeze. Where do you begin? How do you make sense of such a large pile? Where do you start? Well, in many ways, as this topic came to me, living wise with our work, our time, and our money, this is the kind of pile that I saw in front of me. And I said to Kim, this is a rather large topic. And I was joking with my family about a couple of weeks ago as we were walking. And I said, this is going to be a lot of work with little time and for even less money. I was joking. It's our delight to be here and to try to make sense of this topic with you. And so like we did up in that barn, you begin by taking one bale and you start stacking it and you get the next one and the next one. And so picked up the topic. I opened up my scriptures, turned to prayer, seeking for wisdom, and began preparing. And so I want to begin by, as I dismantle, as it were, this pile before us this evening, in order to make some sense of this pile, I want to first acknowledge I'm not going to tackle every aspect of this pile. Work, time, money, there's been books written on it. But what I will do is I would like to focus in living wisely with your work. And there are going to be implications right away to time and to your money. And so I want to begin by just setting the framework for how I'm going to unpack this so you can follow along with me. And it sort of follows the outline in your book. First, I want to understand just what do we mean by work? What is work? Second, I want to ask the question, who are we working for? And then third, I want to ask the question, well, how do we work? How do we go about? What does the Proverbs teach us in relation to that question? And then I want to ask the question, well, when are we to work? And then concluding with the question, why? Why are we working? What is work? Well, how would you define it? Or if I were to go around asking that question among you or among other people, there would be a variety of definitions or suggestions. It's an activity that involves exerting energy, strength, using the faculties of our mind. Some of you might say in response, it's hard, it's difficult, it requires exertion. Or you might right away go to your particular place of employment, where you work. Or you might be just thinking of your part-time job. And all of those have some truth to it. They're aspects of what we mean by work. But I think as we consider what work is biblically, I think we need to think better in terms of callings. What is your calling? And so I'm going to use these terms, work, calling, a little bit interchangeably tonight as we work through this. But we first note the first call to work in Scripture comes almost immediately after the creation of man. In the first chapter of the Bible, after we read God working 6 days now, and on that sixth day, he creates man in his own image. He then, after creating man, calls him to a particular calling. He calls him to work in relation to keeping and caring for his creation. We read of that call in Genesis 1, verse 28. Be fruitful, the Lord says, and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. There's a call here to mankind, to humanity, to be productive, to develop, to subdue, to have dominion over the creation. In many ways, this is a call to reflect the Lord and his creative work. As the Lord created out of nothing, we don't create out of nothing, we don't work out of nothing, but using what God gives to us, he calls us to be creative and to use it well. Later in chapter 2, as we read the second account of the creation of man, we read that the Lord, in verse 15 of chapter 2, we read, and the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And literally these two words, to dress it and to keep it, you could translate it as to serve and to protect or to guard. to serve it, and to guard it. From the very beginning, there was a call by the Lord on human beings, and now including us, to care for and develop the earth and all that is in it. And so as we consider work, we've seen already that it's a creation ordinance first, but now we also take note that this call is a good call. Work was something that was good. It was part of the very good creation. It's a call to serve, actually. To serve others, to serve the Lord. It's a call that will take the good gifts that the Lord gives to us, to use them, developing them, using them well for His glory and for others' good and our own. Work is a call to serve the Lord and others through our labors, through the activity that we find ourselves in throughout each of our days. So let me just repeat that. Work is an activity where we develop and make use of the good gifts that the Lord has blessed us with for His glory, primarily and foremost, and for the good of others and ourselves. It's a call to serve. And this is the, as one commentator says, it's the highest privilege a person can have. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden to serve and keep it. Work here has this idea of service to the Lord. And it's a continued call to continue to serve Him in our daily labors, in the host of callings that we have in our day-to-day life. Even in some of the mundane things that we may think, how can I serve the Lord in working at a gas station or out on the construction site or in the barn? How do I serve the Lord in these ways? Well, the Lord is the one who has first and foremost equipped you with the gifts to serve Him in these areas. He also equips you with particular gifts in given areas of study or service of work in a particular field. Some of you are gifted in the areas of mathematics or in physics or in the humanities or in the languages. And He calls you to go out to develop them, to use them for His honor and glory, and then to benefit others. We read of this of someone who's called to what we would call just a stonemason or a bricklayer in the scriptures. And the Lord says of this man, of Bezalel, in Exodus 31, verses 3 through 5, that he was filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in the knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in the cutting of stones. The Lord calls each one of us to serve Him in whatever calling we may find ourselves in. And so our labors, our vocational callings, are avenues where we are called to serve the Lord first and foremost. So we've seen that work is a creation ordinance. It is something that is good. It is an act of service to God and to others. But as we move into chapter 3 of Genesis, we quickly realize, and it doesn't take us long to figure out as we go about our daily lives, to recognize that work is hard. It's not always pleasant. We recognize that it has become laborious and difficult on account of sin. In the fall, one of the immediate consequences that Adam and Eve and we with them are confronted with is that work has become challenging, hard, difficult, mundane at times, boring, a drudgery. We read of that as the Lord speaks to Adam, as he confronts him after their sin. And unto Adam, God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. On account of our sin, our callings have become and can be tedious, at times a drudgery. I'm sure some of you at times look up against going to work or going to school or picking up, or maybe you have a coworker who all they do is complain about the challenges of their particular job. I've had on two different occasions in my summer work, I had had coworkers who complained about their work. It was hard, it was boring. No matter what job we had, wherever we were sent out to do the labors of that day, it was a drudgery. No job was good enough. The other crews always had the easier job or the better job or the more the customer that was easier to work with. But in the process, complaining, wasting time and resources. Work is good, but it has become hard. Our callings are good callings that the Lord places in our life, but they are challenging at times. But this leads us to the question, particularly as we consider the impacts of sin on our calling. Who are we working for? Who are we working for? Who are you working for? As we meet people, we invariably will ask the question, well, who do you work for? Or what do you do for work? And someone may respond, well, I work for Chick-fil-A or some other organization, or you might work for a particular company or person, maybe a relative, a neighbor, or someone from your church. And yes, all of these will be a correct answer to the question, but I want us to search our hearts a little bit more. Who do you work for? And really, there are only two categories in terms of a response to this question. As we search our hearts, do we work for ourselves, or an extension of ourselves, others around us who we may be seeking to please, parents, friends? Or are we working for the Lord? Is he the one that directs the way we work, how we go about our work, what we do? And Solomon directs our attention to this reality that apart from the Lord, we cannot and we will not think wisely about anything, including our work, time, and money. Proverbs 1, verse 7, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of how we begin to think about work, time, money, life as a whole. So who are you working for, young people? Or let me rephrase the question. Who do you fear? You may be a diligent worker, one that your boss says, I like this person working for me. He's credible, he's accountable, he's helpful, he's trustworthy. But who are you working for? In many ways, and for many years in my life as a when I was a teenager, when I was in high school, I was a hard, diligent, hard worker, a diligent student. I poured into my studies and into other areas of my life. But I had, looking back, I have to acknowledge it was not the fear of the Lord that drove my work habits. I was working hard. I was seeking those good grades. I was looking for that paycheck because I was looking to lift up John Bile. I was seeking to please others, looking for their accolades, trying to set myself apart, get myself to the top. I was absolutely driven to get into the school that I wanted to get into the program that I wanted to get into. I was driven by my grades, by the applause of others. I was not driven by the glory of God and His honor. I was seeking to honor myself, not Him, in my work. And after God showed His mercy and grace to me, He has gently and persistently changed the way that I do things and why I do things. So let me repeat the question. Who are you working for, or who do you fear? Is it yourself? Is it your own reputation? Is it your own honor? Or is it the Lord and His glory and the good of others? Friend, if it's the former, if you're driven because you're seeking to lift yourself up and put yourself up here, the Lord calls you tonight. He calls you to consider who He is and who you are. He calls you to search deep tonight into your own heart and say, and look to say, all you can see is the fact that you're a sinner and you have nothing to present to Him. He calls you to come to Him, to submit to Him, to come under His lordship, to bow before Him, and by His grace, to seek to serve Him and to love Him. He calls you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him. And friend, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you are able to say, it's my heart's desire to work for the Lord, to serve the Lord in whatever callings I face, He echoes this call again to you to live wholly for Him. And with our text from Colossians 3, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, for you serve the Lord Christ. Or Solomon puts it this way in Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. But what does it look like to work for the Lord? How are we to work for Him, to serve Him? How do we serve the Lord in such a way, wholeheartedly, and not as unto men? Well, the Proverbs give us incredible wisdom in terms of how we are to labor for the Lord. I want to take four practical primary ways that we can learn from the book of Proverbs on how to work, how we are to carry out our callings in life. Often the Proverbs contrast a negative and a positive characteristic, and we will see that as we consider these. But I'm going to focus on the positive aspect. But I want to just stop here a minute before we look at those four and just remind ourselves, this isn't just for work. This is for every calling in our life. And we have a lot of callings in life. We have callings, We have callings with our family. We have callings in our church. We have callings in our school communities as students. We have callings in broader society. But no matter which calling we think about, the Lord first and foremost calls us in the Proverbs to be diligent workers, hard workers. This theme is echoed throughout the Proverbs. There are numerous passages that we could turn to. I just want to point ourselves to three of them. And the first is from Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11, where Solomon brings our attention to the ants. And he says, I want you to stop and consider the ants of the field. Those little creatures that will run around and sometimes we call them a nuisance. And Solomon says, I want you to go to the ant. And he's speaking to a sluggard here. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Go to the ant. She's a diligent worker. And so we're called to be diligent in the work, in the callings that we're called to. Whether this is your schoolwork, whether this is your summer job, whether this is your part-time job, whether this is your calling as a son or a daughter in your home, we're called to be diligent. And Proverbs 12, verse 11 echoes this. And Solomon gives us this picture of one who is tilling the land, and he shall be satisfied with bread. But he that follows vain persons is void of understanding. Andy and Kim, are we good with the sprinkling of rain? Okay.
You want to move back a little bit?
My Bible's getting wet. I don't need a damp and soggy Bible. Yeah. So in Proverbs 12, Solomon draws their attention to this one who's working in the field. Are you sure, Andy?
No.
We're going to head up to the dark building with no power. Oh, it's on.
After 14 years of teaching, you get used to interruptions along these lines. Never had this where we've been outside teaching and then have to run inside. Okay. So we were looking at, well, how do we work? How do we carry out the callings that the Lord calls us to? Whether that's in our families, within the context of our families, or whether that's in our schoolwork, our academic work, or whether that's in our part-time jobs, whether that's in our service for the church. How are we to carry out these callings? And we first looked at the first one was, the Lord calls us to be diligent workers. To be diligent in the callings that he is calling us to. And we considered how Solomon calls us to take notice of the ant and their diligence in bringing in food for the fall, winter, and summer months. Preparing for the future. But second, we were also looking at this call in Proverbs 12, verse 11, where Solomon says, he that tills the land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that follows vain persons or empty persons is void of understanding. And this word till here is the idea of cultivating, but it is also could be translated as serving. This word has the idea of one who serves. And in serving, the Lord blesses with provision. While laziness, slothfulness demonstrate that one is void, Solomon says, of understanding, does not have the fear of the Lord. diligence is something that the Lord calls us to. Not just in the things we like, but in every area of our life. And Solomon puts it in Ecclesiastes 9:10, which we read already. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Do it with diligence. We think of a number of different biblical characters in the throughout Scripture of people who were diligent. And it's easy to be diligent when things go well. But I want to draw your attention to one who, to Joseph, sold into slavery, bought, called to serve in Potiphar's house, and then cast into prison. In both times that we read of the Lord as he set his hand to what was before him, the Lord blessed him, blessed the labors of his hands. He was diligent with what his hand found to do. And you can't imagine that it was easy for him. He was a 17-year-old, I believe, about the time that he was sold into Egypt. Some of your age. Torn away from his mom and dad. Or from his dad at this point. Torn away. Torn away from his brothers, and yes, his brothers didn't like him. They were glad he was gone. Torn away from everything that he knew. And he could have moped and groaned in the calling, the place that he was at. But what we read of him is anything but that. He set his hand to the task that he was called to. Potiphar gave him complete control over his household. And he served the Lord, served his master Potiphar diligently. And then falsely accused, cast into prison. And what do we find him doing there? Serving with diligence once more. Whatever your callings are, in the home of your mom and dad, in your academic work in school, and I know for some of you, I've been a teacher, I know for some of you, school is the last place that you want to be. But it is a place that the Lord calls you and places you in. And he calls you to be diligent, using your gifts and well, developing them. This is the time that the Lord calls you to develop your gifts for future service in his kingdom. Whether it's in your summer job, do it diligently. Whether this is in your local church, serve him diligently. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Secondly, the Lord calls us to be honest and reliable in our callings. Solomon sees this one, this calling, this call to be honest and reliable, as directly connected with the first one we've already considered. In Proverbs 18, verse 9, he writes, "He also that is slothful or lazy in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster." These two go hand in hand. A lazy person is closely related to one who wastes, who misuses others' time and resources. So if we're going to be called to be good stewards, or we are called to be good stewards of the resources that the Lord has given to you, we're called to give it a good account of how we use them. And being a good steward of the resources we have before us means we will be honest before the Lord and before others, whatever that calling might be, whether it's our job before our employers, or whether it's in school before our teachers, whether it's at home with our parents. We're called to be honest with others about how we use our time and our resources, how we use the gifts that the Lord has given to us. This means we will give a good account of ourselves, of the use of these gifts, time, that are entrusted to us. Whether it's physical property, whether it's the mind that the Lord has given us, whether it's our time that He gives us. Are we honest, reliable, trustworthy individuals in the callings that the Lord calls us to? Third, we are called to be people of integrity and principle. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide him, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them." As we go about our daily callings, and I'm sure some of you have experienced this, you will find yourself, particularly if you're working in a non-Christian setting, or maybe even in the context of a Christian school or in your home, you'll find yourselves being challenged to compromise. And Solomon says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them." This word for integrity is found here in the Proverbs 11, but it's also found four times in the book of Job. You know Job. You know the situation that Job found himself. The Lord had allowed Satan to tempt him, to try him, to afflict him, hoping that Job would just curse the Lord, would turn from the Lord, from following him, from serving the Lord. But Job, regardless of the physical troubles, the challenges, the losses that he experienced, he was fast in his integrity. We read in Job 2. And Solomon here calls us to be like Job, to hold fast the integrity that is found in those who are upright and those who desire to serve the Lord. For it will guide you into sure and steadfast paths. There will be temptations to compromise, whether in the academic world or whether in your work, whether at home. There will be temptations to compromise, to cheat on a test, to cover a mistake, to overvalue a product or undervalue it. But may we, with Joseph, when he was tested and tried, when he was challenged to compromise, may we with Joseph cry out, "How can I sin against God and do this evil in his sight?" The fourth thing that the Lord calls us to in terms of how to go about our callings is we are called to use the Lord's gifts wisely. To use them wisely and to develop them. In Proverbs 27, verse 23, and the verses that follow it, in verse 23 we read, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds." We have here a call to, Solomon's giving us this call to ensure the longevity of one's flocks, of one's possessions, so that they continue to be productive. But the verses that follow outline how the farmer is then to do this. He's to make good use of the gifts to help his flock be productive. The gifts of hay, of grass, of herbs, to use them to feed the flock so that the flock can grow, thrive, can be used for food or clothing for both his own household and for that of others. And if we take the principles of what Solomon is calling us to, he's calling us to take the gifts that the Lord has given to us. And each of us have been blessed with gifts. And he calls us to use other resources around us to develop those gifts so that we can then in turn serve the Lord and serve others. Each of you have been blessed with gifts or talents, and some of you may struggle to assess what those are for you in your life right now. Seek others to help you, people who know you well, to help identify them and how to use them. But we all have gifts of time, gifts of a sound mind, gifts of a variety of resources, and particularly here in the West, we have many resources at our disposal. Gifts of friends, family. How are we using them? Do we stretch out our breaks at our jobs? Are we satisfied with mediocre grades? Oh, I just got by, glad with that. When you have the gifts to do better. Are you using your gifts for the glory of God and for the good of others? This leads us to our next question. When do you work? When are we to exercise our callings? This becomes a little bit more tricky when we need to think broadly here in terms of callings. If it's our vocational calling, the Lord gives us some very specific instructions. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. We recognize even right away in this call for our vocational callings that we are not to let our vocational callings consume us. The Lord is calling us to set apart one day for Him completely. One day of rest to serve Him. But as we consider our other callings beyond just our a vocational calling, a job, we need to recognize, we need to understand that the various callings that we have in our life, in our daily life, we're called to keep them in balance. For many of you here tonight, you have three primary callings, I'm assuming. You have your calling that to be a son or a daughter within the context of your family. Your second calling is I'm assuming a majority of you here, maybe not all of you, but the calling to your academic work. Most of you are students still. In a month, and you don't want to hear this, but in a month and a bit, you will be back in school. And then the third, I'm assuming most of you have a part-time job or a summer job that you are called to. And each of them are not to consume you, but they need to be kept in balance as a whole. And I think we could even add a fourth calling. You're part of church communities. You're part of a body. And are you functioning as an active member of that body? Your callings will change. God willing, your family callings will change. Possibly called into marriage. Blessed with children. Two additional aspects of the calling of family that are both weighty and beautiful. Your vocational callings are going to change. It's going to go from a summer job to a full-time job with responsibilities. And those will change as life moves on. Your community callings will change. You may be called to serve in your local church, your school, in society as a whole. And the key, whether it's now or in the future, is there a balance in your callings? Your vocational calling should not consume you so that you have no time for your family, school, or church communities. Your academics should not consume you. During my university days, when I was in engineering school, academics consumed my life. I was putting in 80 plus hours a week in terms of my academic work. It left me leaving my family to have bear the brunt of my anxiety, my grumpiness, my irritability. your part-time work should not consume you? Are you leading a balanced life, work, home, church, school life? But above all, in all of this, who has the priority? Does the Lord? Going back to that second question, who are you working for? Does the Lord have the priority in every area of your life? Colossians 3 again, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. Priorities. This gets us to the question of why. Why do we work? Our last question. It's a heart-searching question. Why am I working? Why am I taking up these various callings in my life? What are my heart's motives for doing what I do? Whether it's in my academic pursuits, whether it's in my part-time job, whether it's in my family. Is it to build myself up, yourself? Is it to make a name for yourself? To establish your reputation? Is it to earn the accolades and the pats on the back of others? Is it to establish financial independence? To pad your bank accounts? Is it to so that you can consume it on material goods and fill your life with stuff? In Proverbs, the Lord says in Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as the eagle toward heaven. If we're laboring to build ourselves up, to become financially independent, to pad our bank accounts, if that's our primary focus, we need to remember what the Lord says. Riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away. We came with nothing into this world, and we will leave with nothing of our material possessions. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it for yourself or is it for the Lord? Is there a desire to seek to be faithful to Him? To use your gifts and talents that He has blessed you with well? To be diligent, seeking to be diligent, honest, wise in your callings. In order to do these three things, to provide for the service and work of the Lord, for His glory, to care for others, and to provide for ourselves, for our daily cares and future needs. Don't get me wrong about earning money and bringing money in and having accumulating stuff for the future. We're called to be wise and planning. But the question is, does it consume you? Why are you doing what you are doing? We are to seek through this all, through our callings, through our labors, with our time, with our resources, to bring glory to the Lord's name. And our lives are transient. They will change. Abram was settled in Ur of the Chaldees. He had a home there. He had a life there. He had family there. But then the Lord called him. Called him to get up and to go out. To where? He didn't know. But he was called to follow the Lord. To an unknown land among an unknown people with some of his possessions. It was a call to serve, to serve the Lord in the place that the Lord was calling him to be. For some of you, that may be continuing to stay in the place where he's placed you, whether that's here in Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo or New Jersey or British Columbia or Ontario or Arkansas, wherever it might be. But it may also include a call elsewhere to pick up your stuff and move to follow him. So are you seeking to live wise in the callings that the Lord is calling you to? And as we conclude, I just want to highlight two things. This call to live wise in our callings. The first thing we need to understand, and which is foremost at the front of this, is to grasp why has the Lord placed you here on the earth at this point in history, in 2024. It's to know him and to serve him. That's your primary calling. He wants you to know him. And he, in his grace and mercy, has revealed himself to us. And he calls you to come to him if you haven't. But second, to then see ourselves in our particular places, wherever that might be, to see your callings as something that is absolutely good. Your callings to your family, your callings to your studies, your callings to your summer jobs, your callings to whatever future callings you might have. These are good callings. For they are opportunities. They are opportunities that the Lord gives to you to use the gifts that he's blessed you with to bring him glory and to serve others and yourself. To be a means of blessing to those around you and yourself. Friend, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Thank you. Open the word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we are thankful for the various callings that you have placed on our lives and in our lives. And Lord, we do pray that we would recognize that it is the Lord our God who has called us to be sons and daughters, to be students, to take up our vocational callings. And may we do so, Lord, in dependence on you, trusting and looking for all of our help, our strength, our wisdom, and whatever these callings are, in the first place to bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then to be the means of blessing that you use to bless others. Lord, help us. Help these young friends. Lord, for many of them seeking to know what these callings will look like in their lives, help them to use the time in these callings that they find themselves now well to prepare themselves for future service in the kingdom of God. Grant them strength, wisdom, and your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide them. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.